Welcome to Lena Live, hosted by Professor Lena Miermond. I'm producer Julian Lampert. And today we're going to listen to the letters of Ludwig von Beethoven, which he wrote to the Archduke Rudolf of Austria. The Archduke Rudolf was Beethoven's primary patron and very close friend. Beethoven lived from 1770 until 1827. And the Archduke Rudolf from 1788 until 1831. The Archduke Rudolf's full name was Rudolf Johannes Joseph Rainier von Habsburg-Lothringen, the Archduke and Prince Imperial of Austria, the Prince Royal of Hungary and Bohemia. The Archduke was a Cardinal and Bishop of Olmutz and a member of the House of Habsburg-Lorraine. He was born in Pisa, and he was the youngest son of Emperor Leopold II and Maria Luisa of Spain, and he was elected Archbishop of Olmutz in 1819 and became a cardinal in the next year of 1820, which was 7 years prior to Beethoven's death. I'm going more into the biography of the Archduke than Beethoven's, because he is a much less famous figure in the history and played an extremely vital role in Beethoven's life. In fact, we have to be incredibly grateful for the Archduke for providing support to Beethoven, thanks to which he had blessed us with such extraordinary masterpieces. And in fact, Beethoven dedicated no less than 14 pieces of music to the Archduke, which included the Archduke Trio, the monumental Hammerklavier Sonata, the Fifth Piano Concerto, and the Missa Solemnis. And in fact, Rudolf in turn dedicated one of his own compositions to Beethoven, and this piece was a set of variations which the Archduke wrote on a theme composed by his teacher at that time, having been Beethoven. And in fact, Rudolf did study piano and composition from Beethoven. They met in the beginning of the 19th century, around 1803 or 04, and their close friendship lasted until around 1824, 3 years before Beethoven died. So beginning with this first letter, dated 1819, Beethoven writes to the Archduke Rudolf, "I learned with deep sorrow of your being unwell again. I trust it will only be a passing indisposition. No doubt our very variable spring is the cause of this. I intended to have brought the variations yesterday. They may well boldly face the light of day, and no doubt your Royal Highness will receive an application for your consent at this point, on this point. I very much regret being able only to express a pia desideria for your Royal Highness's health. I earnestly hope the skill of your Aesculapius may at length gain the victory and procure permanent health for your Royal Highness." Aesculapius apparently is the name of the physician who was treating the Archduke at the time. Moving on to a letter dated July 15th, 1819, Beethoven writes, "I have been very ill since my last visit to your Royal Highness in town. I hope, however, to be much better by next week, in which case I will instantly join your Royal Highness at Baden. Meanwhile, I went several times to town to consult my physician. My continued distress about my nephew, whose moral character has been almost totally ruined, has been the main cause of my illness. At the beginning of this week, I was obliged to resume my guardianship, the other guardian having resigned, and much has taken place for which he has asked my forgiveness. The solicitor has also given up his office because, having interested himself in the good cause, he has been loudly accused of partiality. Thus these endless perplexities rather go on, and no help, no consolation. The whole fabric that I had reared now blown away as if by the wind. A pupil of Pestalozzi, at present an inmate of the institute where I have placed my nephew, seems to think that it will be a difficult matter for him and for my poor Karl to attain any desirable goal. Incidentally, Karl was Beethoven's brother. But he is also of the opinion that the most advisable step is the removal of my nephew to a foreign country. I hope that the health of your Royal Highness, always so interesting to me, leaves nothing to be desired, and I look forward with pleasure to soon being with your Royal Highness, that I may be enabled to prove my anxiety to serve you. We continue with another letter dated the same year, 1819, where Beethoven writes in more detail about his troubled nephew. Beethoven writes to the Archduke, "May I beg the favor of your Royal Highness to inform His Royal Highness Archduke Ludwig of the following circumstances. Your Royal Highness no doubt remembers my mentioning the necessary removal of my nephew from here on account of his mother. My intention was to present a petition to His Royal Highness the Archduke Ludwig on the subject. No difficulties, however, have hitherto arisen on the subject, as all the authorities concerned are in my favor. Among the chief of these are the College of Privy Councillors, the Court of Guardians, and the Guardian himself, who all entirely agree with me in thinking that nothing can be more conducive to the welfare of my nephew than being kept at the greatest possible distance from his mother. Moreover, all is admirably arranged for the education of my nephew in Landshut, as the estimable and renowned Professor Seiler is to superintend everything connected with the studies of the youth, and I have also some relations there, so no doubt the most desirable results may be thus attained for my nephew. Having, as I already said, as yet encountered no obstacles, I had no wish whatever to trouble His Royal Highness the Archduke Ludwig, but I now understand that the mother of my nephew intends to demand an audience from His Royal Highness in order to oppose my scheme. She will not scruple to utter all sorts of calumnies against me, but I trust that these can be easily refuted by my well-known and acknowledged moral character, and I can fearlessly appeal to Your Royal Highness for a testimony on this point for the satisfaction of His Royal Highness the Archduke Ludwig. As for the conduct of the mother of my nephew, it is easily to be inferred from the fact of her having been declared by the court wholly incapable of undertaking the guardianship of her son. All that she plotted in order to ruin her poor child can only be credited from her own depravity, and thence arises the unanimous agreement about this affair and the boy being entirely withdrawn from her influence. Such is the natural and unnatural state of the case. I therefore beg Your Royal Highness to intercede with His Royal Highness Archduke Ludwig and to warn him against listening to the slanders of the mother, who would plunge her child into an abyss whence he could never be rescued. That sense of justice which guides every part in our just Austrian land does not entirely exclude her either. At the same time, this very same sense of justice must render all her remonstrances unavailing. A religious view of the fourth commandment is what chiefly decides the court to send away the son as far as possible. The difficulty those must have who conduct the boy's education in not offending against this commandment, and the necessity that the son should never be tempted to fail in this duty or to repudiate it, ought certainly to be taken into consideration. Every effort has been made by forbearance and generosity to amend this unnatural mother, but all has been in vain. If necessary, I will supply His Royal Highness Archduke Ludwig with a statement on the subject, And, favored by the advocacy of my gracious master, your Royal Highness, the Archduke Rudolf, I shall certainly obtain justice." This is a really extraordinary letter because it gives testimony to a side of Beethoven which has largely been not ignored, but definitely overshadowed by not so much musicologists and historians, but just by this general image that we have of Beethoven being this highly self-absorbed genius. And we see a side of Beethoven in this single letter which might surprise us because he, as virtually all of the great geniuses of mankind, was indeed a truly self-absorbed individual, completely consumed by his extraordinary inner world. But together with that, Beethoven was almost entirely deaf by this point, and his deafness was by far the greatest source of grief that Beethoven had ever had. So, considering these circumstances, it's quite extraordinary that Beethoven would come out of himself to such a great degree, to an extreme degree, for the benefit of this poor nephew of his. So it really goes to show how extremely complex the nature of genius truly is. Let's take a brief break and hear from our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
Dear Calvary Hospital, my dad was at the end of his life, suffering from pancreatic cancer. I knew there was only one place that could relieve his pain and ours as well, Calvary Hospital. His wish was to die at home, so it was Calvary Home Hospice that provided Dad with the quality of life he deserved, filled with exceptional comfort and warmth. He passed on with dignity and grace, and we were all there with him. A year later, my mom needed the same Calvary care, and once again, Calvary's expert home hospice staff was there for us. My parents gave me unqualified love their entire lives. There was no better way for me to return this love than with Calvary's care. Yours truly, Deborah DiGregorio.
This is Frank Calamari, president of Calvary Hospital. Our world-renowned hospice program brings our expert end-of-life care right into your home. Call us at 718-518-2465.
Welcome back as we explore the letters of Ludwig van Beethoven, which he wrote to his primary patron, the Archduke Rudolf of Austria. Moving to the same year, 1819, Beethoven writes to the Archduke, "I regret to say that owing to a judicial meeting about the affairs of my nephew, being unable to alter the hour fixed, I must give up the pleasure of waiting on your Royal Highness this evening, but shall not fail to do so tomorrow at 4:30. As for the affair itself, I know that I shall be treated with indulgence. May heaven at length bring it to a close, for my mind suffers keenly from such a painful turmoil." Again from the same year, on July 29th, Beethoven writes to the Archduke, "I heard with deep regret of your Royal Highness's recent indisposition." By the way, the constant reference to your Royal Highness, of course, to be absolutely clear, Beethoven is, of course, referring to the Archduke himself, whom he is writing to. Beethoven writes, "I hear with deep regret of your Royal Highness's recent indisposition, and having received no further reliable information on the subject, I am extremely uneasy. I went to Vienna to search in your Royal Highness's library for what was most suitable to me. The chief object must be to hit off our idea at once, and in accordance with a high class of art, unless the object in view should require different and more practical treatment. On this point, the ancient composers offer the best examples, as most of these possess real artistic value, though among them, the German Handel and Sebastian Bach can alone lay claim to genius. But freedom and progress are our true aim in the world of art, just as in the great creation at large. And if we moderns are not so far advanced as our forefathers in solidity, still the refinement of our ideas has contributed in many ways to their enlargement. My illustrious musical pupil, himself a competitor for the laurels of fame, Beethoven is writing about the Archduke here, must not incur the reproach of one-sidedness. Et iterum venturus judicare vivos et mortuos. I send you three poems, from which your Royal Highness might select one to set to music. The Austrians have now learned that the spirit of Apollo wakes afresh in the imperial house. I receive from all sides requests from something of yours. The editor of the Mode Zeitung, is to write to your Royal Highness on the subject. I only hope that I shall not be accused of being bribed to be at court, and yet no courtier. After that, what is not credible? I met with some opposition from His Excellency the Oberhofmeister in selecting the music. It is not worthwhile to trouble your Royal Highness on the subject in writing, but this I will say, that such conduct might have the effect of repelling many talented, good, and noble-minded men who had not enjoyed the good fortune to learn from personal intercourse with your Royal Highness all the admirable qualities of your mind and heart. I wish your Royal Highness a speedy recovery, and, for my own peace of mind, that I may hear some good tidings of your Royal Highness. Moving on to the next letter here, also dated 1819, I have unhappily only myself to blame. I went out yesterday for the first time feeling pretty well, but I forgot on rather paid and or rather paid no attention to the fact that being an invalid, only just recovering, I ought to have gone home early. I have consequently brought on another attack. I think, however, that by staying at home today, all will be right by tomorrow, when I hope to be able to wait on my esteemed and illustrious pupil without fail. Beethoven here is referring to the Archduke himself. I beg your Royal Highness not to forget about Handel's works, as they certainly offer to your mature musical genius the highest nourishment, and their study will always be productive of admiration of this great man. I'd like to say just a few words about this interesting letter. Handel was a huge celebrity during his lifetime, and Bach, being his great contemporary, was very far from being a celebrity, and it's a fairly well-established fact that, unlike Handel, who traveled all over Europe, Bach very likely never left his native Germany. And as extraordinary as Handel is, his genius is not debated by anyone. He is certainly not as great a figure, not as monumental as Bach is. And although this is speculation, certainly speculation, it is generally accepted, well, I certainly feel strongly about this, and many do as well, that had Beethoven been much more familiar with Bach's music than he was with Handel's, Beethoven's preference would have been more in the direction of Bach rather than Handel. And what's important to note here is that Bach's music was actually not only not as well known, but not really widely available at all during Beethoven's lifetime. Bach's music was the renaissance of Bach's music really occurred only during Mendelssohn's lifetime. And Mendelssohn lived not too long after Beethoven, but it really was only after Beethoven's death, and thanks to Mendelssohn's efforts, that Bach received this extraordinary rebirth of his art. And Bach is generally now acknowledged as not only being one of the great artists, thinkers, philosophers of music of all time, but many regard him as actually the single greatest composer of all time. So it's quite well established that the music of Bach was not really that widely available to Beethoven, that Beethoven was familiar with only a small collection of Bach's works, whereas Handel, having been a huge celebrity, Handel was a much more accessible figure by Beethoven as well as to the rest of Europe. So let's move on to the next letter. And actually, before we move on, I'd like to say some important words about where I am reading from. Although Beethoven's letters have long been famous and published, I am currently reading these letters from Project Gutenberg. And Project Gutenberg is the first and largest single collection of free electronic books. It was founded by Michael Hart, who actually died just a few years ago. And this website and this collection is definitely the most extraordinary resource I have found anywhere of any kinds of books whose copyrights have expired. And in fact, that is the basis of Project Gutenberg's existence, rather. All of their materials have had their copyrights expired for several years now. And we have to be extremely grateful to this operation for bringing many books, in fact, many books which I couldn't even myself find in certain libraries here, for making them available for the entire world. You can find Project Gutenberg at gutenberg.org. That's G-U-T-E-N-B as in boy, E-R-G as in Gary, .org. That's projectgutenberg.org. And please consider making a donation to this site. Before we continue, let's pause for another brief message from our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
Dear Calvary Hospital, James Lee was a true hero. Saving lives was something he always wanted to do, whether as a paratrooper for the 82nd Airborne or as a New York City fireman. They called him Jimmy. I was proud to call him Dad. But when terminal illness ravaged his body, this man's man knew that this was one life that could not be saved. Not even by me, an experienced nurse. It just wasn't fair that he had to suffer like this. But then Calvary stepped in. You relieved his enormous pain, and not only gave him the peace and comfort he deserved, but you also gave me and my family a chance to enjoy his final days, smiling and laughing, together, one last time. How can we ever forget what you mean to us? Yours truly, Colleen Lee.
This is Frank Calamari, president of Calvary Hospital, where life continues. Call us at 718-518-2000. Thank you.
Welcome back to Lena Live. This is Julian Lampert, and we're listening to the letters written by Ludwig van Beethoven to his patron, the Archduke Rudolf. Moving on to a letter dated August 31st of 1819, Beethoven writes, "I yesterday received the intelligence of a fresh recognition and homage offered to the admirable qualities of your head and heart, I beg that Your Royal Highness will graciously accept my congratulations. They spring from the heart and do not require to be suggested. I hope things will soon go better with me also. So much annoyance has had a most prejudicial effect on my health, and I am thus far from well. So far, some time has passed since I have been obliged to undergo a course of medicine which has only permitted me to devote myself for a few hours in the day to the most cherished boon of my heaven, my art, and the muses. I hope, however, to be able to finish the Mass so that it can be performed on the 19th if that day is still fixed. I should really be in despair were I prevented by bad health from it being ready by that time. I trust, however, that my sincere wishes for the accomplishment of this task may be fulfilled. As to that chef d'oeuvre, the Variations of Your Royal Highness, I think they should be published under the following title: Theme or Subject Composed by Ludwig van Beethoven, 40 Times Varied, and Dedicated to His Instructor by the Illustrious Author. Incidentally, this is in reference to the piece of music which Archduke Rudolf wrote, dedicated to Beethoven, and he wrote a set of piano variations, and as the dedication here writes, 40 times varied. That means 40 variations which the Archduke wrote on a theme, or a melody if you like, that was written by Beethoven. So we continue on with Beethoven's letter. The inquiries about this work are numerous, and yet, after all, this excellent composition may be ushered into the world in mutilated copies, for Your Royal Highness yourself cannot possibly resist giving it to one person and then to another. So in heaven's name, together with the great homage Your Royal Highness now publicly receives, let the homage to Apollo, or the Christian Sicilia, also be made public. Perhaps Your Royal Highness may accuse me of vanity, but I do assure you that precious as this dedication is to my heart, and truly proud of it as I am, this is certainly not my chief object. Three publishers have offered to take the work, Artaria, Steiner, and a third whose name does not at this moment occur to me. So of the two I have named, which is to have the variations? I await the commands of Your Royal Highness on this point. They are to be engraved at the cost of either of those publishers, according to their own offer. The question now is whether Your Royal Highness is satisfied with the title. My idea is that Your Royal Highness should entirely close your eyes to the fact of the publication. When it does appear, Your Royal Highness may deem it a misfortune, but the world will consider it in the reverse. May Providence protect Your Royal Highness and shower down the richest blessings of His grace on Your Royal Highness's sacred head, and preserve for me Your gracious regard. My indisposition must be my excuse with Your Royal Highness for this confused letter. Continuing on with the year 1819, Beethoven writes, I perceive that Baron Schweiger has not informed Your Royal Highness of the attack I had yesterday. I was suddenly seized with such sharp fever that I entirely lost consciousness. A bruised foot may have contributed to bring this on. It is therefore impossible for me to leave the house today. I hope, however, to be quite recovered by tomorrow, and I request Your Royal Highness to appoint the orchestra to come tomorrow afternoon at 2:45, that the musicians may appear a little earlier and leave sufficient time to try over the two overtures. These are the overtures written by Beethoven. If Your Royal Highness wishes to hear these, I shall require 4 horns. The symphonies, however, require only 2. For the proper performance of the symphonies, we must have at least 4 violins, 4 second, 4 first, 2 double basses, 2 violin cellos. I beg you will be so good as to let me know what you decide on. No pleasure can ever be greater to me than hearing my works performed before my illustrious pupil. May God speedily restore your health, which often causes me anxiety. Just looking over this letter where Beethoven writes, for the proper performance of the symphonies, we must have at least four violins, four second violins, that is, four first. And four first, this is not quite clear. Presumably, Beethoven here means violas, four first violas. However, violas usually were not divided in sections, so not exactly clear here on this point, but presumably he's speaking of violas, since he mentions the violins, the double basses, and the celli. Moving on to a shorter letter within the same year, 1819, Beethoven writes, I beg you will be so kind as to let Herr von Wranitzky know your commands about the music and whether to bespeak two or four horns. I have already spoken with him and suggested his only selecting musicians who can accomplish a performance rather than a mere rehearsal. And regarding the same performance, in the next letter, Beethoven writes, it is impossible to double the parts by 11 o'clock tomorrow. Most of the copyists having so much to write this week, I think, therefore, you will perhaps appoint next Saturday for our resurrection day, and by that time I expect to be entirely recovered and better able to conduct, which would have been rather an arduous task for me tomorrow, in spite of my goodwill. On Friday, I do hope to be able to go out and inquire for your Royal Highness. Interesting that in these particular letters, Beethoven does not refer to his deafness, and by this time, as I mentioned at the beginning of our broadcast, Beethoven was almost entirely deaf by this point. This next letter, also from 1819, is prefaced with a statement in parentheses that says a fragment. So it looks like that this is just a fragment of a letter. Beethoven writes to the Archduke Rudolf, the day when a high mass of mine is performed in honor of the solemnities for your Royal Highness will be the most delightful of my life, and God will enlighten me so that my poor abilities may contribute to the splendors of that solemn occasion. This is quite unbelievable for Beethoven to sublimate his own persona, almost downgrading himself before the Archduke in connection with the Missa Solemnis. That's what Beethoven is referring to here, and the Missa Solemnis being one of the high points of all artistic activity of all time. It is very humbling to read of a genius like Beethoven speak so, write so humbly to someone. Let's continue. Beethoven writes, I send you the sonata with heartfelt gratitude. I think the violoncello part is wanting. At least I could not lay my hand on it at the moment. As the work is beautifully engraved, I have taken the liberty to add a published copy and also a violin quintet. In addition to the two pieces written in my hand on your Royal Highness's name day, there are two more. The last, a grand fugato, so that it forms one great sonata, which is now shortly to appear and has long been in my heart dedicated to your Royal Highness. And here Beethoven speaks, of course, of the Hammerklavier sonata. The Hammerklavier is Beethoven's most monumental sonata, and arguably the most monumental piano sonata of all time. An argument could certainly be made in that regard. Continuing on, the recent occurrence connected with Your Royal Highness is not in the slightest degree the cause of this. I beg you will forgive my bad writing. I implore the Lord to bestow his richest blessings on Your Royal Highness, whose love of humanity is so comprehensive, one of the choicest of all qualities. And in this respect, Your Royal Highness will always, either in a worldly or spiritual point of view, be one of our brightest examples. We certainly don't encounter letters like this in the 21st century. Let us take a brief break for a final word from our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
We are honored to have Calvary Hospital of New York City as our sponsor. Calvary, it's where life continues.
Welcome back, Julian Alive. This is Julian Lambert, and we are listening to Letters written by Ludwig van Beethoven, one of the greatest artists and overall spirits of all time. I'd like to conclude this program with Beethoven's most famous letter, the Heiligenstadt Testament. And in this extraordinary letter, Beethoven writes to his brothers about his torment of being deaf. This is Beethoven's most famous document written not in musical notes, but in words. And Beethoven wrote it in 1802 on October the 6th. And that's quite extraordinary considering that the letters which we listened to earlier were dated from 1819. So you can well imagine how terrible his deafness had become by 1819. As I mentioned earlier, he was practically entirely deaf by that point and was to live another 8 years, having died in 1827. Let us listen to this letter, which Beethoven writes to his brothers Karl and Johann Beethoven. O ye men who think or say that I am malevolent, stubborn, or misanthropic, how greatly do ye wrong me! You do not know the secret causes of my seeming. From childhood my heart and mind were disposed to the gentle feelings of goodwill. I was even eager to accomplish great deeds. But reflect now that for 6 years I have been a hopeless case, aggravated by senseless physicians, cheated year after year in the hope of improvement, finally compelled to face the prospect of a lasting malady, whose cure will take years or perhaps be impossible. Born with an ardent and lively temperament, even susceptible to the diversions of society, I was compelled early to isolate myself, to live in loneliness. When I at times tried to forget all this, oh, how harshly I was repulsed by the doubly sad experience of my bad hearing. And yet it was impossible for me to say to men, speak louder, shout, for I am deaf. Ah, how could I possibly admit such an infirmity in the one sense which should have been the more perfect in me than in others? A sense which I once possessed in highest perfection, a perfection such as few surely in my profession enjoy or have enjoyed. Oh, I cannot do it. Therefore, forgive me when you see me draw back, when I would gladly mingle with you. My misfortune is doubly painful because it must lead to my being misunderstood. For me, there can be no recreations in society of my fellows, refined intercourse, mutual exchange of thought, only just as little as the greatest needs command may I mix with society. I must live like an exile. If I approach near to people, a hot terror seizes upon me, a fear that I may be subjected to the danger of letting my condition be observed. Thus it has been during the past year which I spent in the country, commanded by my intelligent physician to spare my hearing as much as possible, in this almost meeting my natural disposition, although I sometimes can counter to it, yielding to my inclination for society. But what a humiliation when one stood beside me and heard a flute in the distance, and I heard nothing. Or someone heard the shepherd singing, and again I heard nothing. Such incidents brought me to the verge of despair, but little more, and I would have put an end to my life. Only art it was that withheld me. Ah, it seemed impossible to leave the world until I had produced all that I felt called upon me to produce. And so I endured this wretched existence, truly wretched, an excitable body which a sudden change can throw from the best into the worst state. Patience, it is said, that I must now choose for my guide. I have done so. I hope my determination will remain firm to endure until it please the inexorable parche to bread the thread. Perhaps I shall get better, perhaps not. I am prepared. Forced already in my 28th year to become a philosopher. Oh, it is not easy. Less easy for the artist than for anyone else. Divine One, thou lookest into my inmost soul. Thou knowest it, thou knowest that love of man and desire to do good live therein. O men, when some day you read these words, reflect that ye did me wrong, and let the unfortunate one comfort himself, and find one in his kind who, despite all obstacles of nature, yet did all that was in his power to be accepted among worthy artists and men. You, my brothers Karl and Johann, as soon as I am dead, if Dr. Schmidt is still alive, ask him in my name to describe my malady and attach this document to the history of my illness, so that so far as possible, at least the world may become reconciled with me after my death. At the same time, I declare you to be the heirs of my small fortune, if so it can be called. Divide it fairly, bear with and help each other. What injury you have done me, you know, was long ago forgiven. To you, Brother Karl, I give special thanks for the attachment you have displayed towards me of late. It is my wish that your lives be better and freer from the care than I have had. Recommend virtue, to your children. It alone can give happiness, not money. I speak from experience. It was virtue that upheld me in misery. To it, next to my art, I owe the fact that I did not end my life with suicide. Farewell, and love each other. I thank all my friends, particularly Prince Lichnowsky and Professor Schmidt. I desire that the instruments from Prince L., that is Prince Lichnowsky, be preserved by one of you, but let no quarrel result from this, so soon as they can serve you better, purpose sell them. How glad will I be if I can still be helpful to you in my grave. With joy I hasten towards death. If it comes before, I shall have had an opportunity to show all my artistic capacities. It will still come too early for me, despite my hard fate, and I shall probably wish it had come later. But even then I am satisfied. Will it not free me from my state of endless suffering? Come when thou will I shall meet thee bravely. Farewell, and do not wholly forget me when I am dead. I deserve this of you, and having often in life thought of you, how to make you happy, be so. Ludwig van Beethoven, Heigenstadt, October 6th, 1802. So, it is fairly clear that we can deduce from this testament that Beethoven did not intend it for it to be read by his brothers until his death. Frankly, I'm not certain if that actually was the case. I think that there is not enough hard evidence that his brothers read this document, and indeed only after Beethoven's death. They may have read it before. On this meaningful note, I thank you all for joining us on Lena Live. Until next time, be well, be happy, be healthy, and a very happy 4th of July to you all. Until next time.